Today is the anniversary of the killing of Minneapolis resident George Floyd by then police officer Derek Chauvin. We wanted to talk about the move for police reforms here in Michigan and why it's so hard to move forward with substantive changes that will protect the lives of Black people interacting with law enforcement. There is a bipartisan package of bills in the Michigan State Senate right now that might cause some movement on the edges of police reform. Democratic State Senator Erica Geis is one of the bill's sponsors, and she joins us today. Senator Geis, welcome to Stateside.
Hi, April. Thanks for having me.
I see that the bill would end no-knock warrants. Can you talk a little bit about that particular issue in policing and how this bill might change a disruptive practice?
Yeah, so my bill, 479, is the bill that would address no-knock warrants. The bill package, as you said, it's a bipartisan bill package, 12 bills in all. And, you know, I think most of us are familiar with no-knock warrants as it relates to the tragedy that occurred with Breonna Taylor.
We might also mention the death of a 7-year-old, Ayanna Jones, who was killed while she was sleeping in the middle of the night police raid in 2010 in Detroit.
Yes, exactly. And the bill would address, and there will be a sub right before committee. The bills are being heard in committee this Thursday morning in Judiciary Committee. That would address the use of no-knock warrants. It would ban them with the exception of certain circumstances, and better defines what knock and enter warrants are. It would the judge ordering that type of warrant would have to explain the reasons for it, why some other type of warrant wouldn't have been appropriate in that circumstance. So it does maintain that judicial discretion and allows exceptions for instances where fear of violent resistance or ambushes could require an element of surprise. We've been working on this package for most of this year, this term. This package goes back to work we worked on last term, but didn't get through the process. So we're hopeful that with there being a hearing in committee and Judiciary Committee, that we'll actually be able to move on these bills that don't only include my bill, which is the no-knock warrant bill, but also use of force bills, a bill on the duty to intervene, de-escalation training, a chokehold ban, separation records where the violations of use of force policies are included in those separation records maintained by MCOLs, requiring independent investigations, requiring MCOL certification revocation if an officer has been found to have used excessive force causing death or seriously bodily harm. Anonymity for complaints against police and related to tampering with body cameras.
We should say MCOLs, for those who don't follow this stuff closely, is Michigan's Commission on Law Enforcement Standards. Senator Geis,
yes,
I see
thank
that.
Thank you. Sorry
yeah,
about
that's
the
okay. That's all right. Lansing stuff. I see that several Republicans are co-sponsors of these bills. There's Senator Roger Victory of Georgetown Township. How did the Republican support materialize?
Well, Senator Victory is now the chair of Judiciary, and Senator Chang is the Democratic vice chair of Judiciary, and they did work together on being able to come to some consensus on which bills, because there are other bills that some of us wanted to have included, but where we could find this common ground to be able to move a package forward that would hopefully improve the interactions of law enforcement and residents. And this is where we ended up with.
Yeah. What do you think was the selling point? We have seen some of Michigan's Republican representatives and senators support reform in sentencing in the past, but this feels like new territory for them. What do you think was the tipping point?
You know, I think someone like Senator Victory realizes that there is a need for change, and that we've seen, you know, especially thinking about what occurred a year ago to Mr. Floyd, and so many others that we've seen over the past year, that something needs to be done. And that something is in the form of the legislative space in order to give departments, give chiefs the ability to address these problems of police brutality, particularly against members of the Black and Brown community. So I think that it's hard to ignore it when you are seeing it, when you're seeing it unfold, unfortunately, in real time, like we did a year ago. I think that might be where that common ground was able to be found.
The reform of police practice is such a hugely multi-layered issue across hundreds of Michigan jurisdictions. We've seen conversations at the federal level for whether qualified immunity should be continued and whether its elimination might have a part to play in this. How do you figure out where you can have the most impact on these issues?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. You know, we do have the conversations with the various stakeholders, and trying to find where that impact can occur. You know, we know that there will be opposition to these bills, that there will be both in the sense of things that they might not want to do, but then also that there's always the risk that they might not go as far as the public might want them to. And one of the dances, so to speak, that occurs with legislation and with a package such as this, which is bipartisan, is finding those areas where we can get to a point of making improvements, even if it's incrementally. There is still much work to do. I will not deny that. And there are other bills that will have either been introduced or will likely be introduced at other times. But this is the package, that this bipartisan package that is being led with, to get our arms around addressing changes that need to happen in policing.
Right. I think you've got teenagers at home.
I do. One and one tween. One teenager, one tween.
We've got about a minute left. I was wondering how you've been talking to your kids about their interactions with the police and the momentum this year, whether it feels real.
Yeah, you know, having a son who is on the cusp of being able to drive, he would have started, had we not been in pandemic times, he would have started driver's ed sooner. But it is... it is a real conversation. It adds a new layer of fear and concern. It's a conversation that we have and that we will definitely have more often. I think the first time we had the talk was the first time he went with his friend somewhere. I drove him to meet his friends at the mall to go to the movies. And that was one of the first times that we had the talk that his existence, being observed by others could be perceived as not who he is, as a person, and that could result in bodily harm, or death. And it's a very real conversation that, parents of color have with their children that we shouldn't have to have.
State Senator Erica Geis, she is a Democrat from Taylor. Senator, thank you so much. We'll look forward to touching base with you as these bills move through the process.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. You have a great day.